Welcome to Inflection Point, interviews with women changing the status quo. I'm Lauren Schiller. Quick, name the first indie film actress who comes to mind right now. Who'd you think of? Chances are it was Parker Posey. Dubbed the Queen of the Indies, Parker Posey has appeared in nearly 90 films and television productions, including bona fide cult classics like Dazed and Confused, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, and The House of Yes, for which she personally won special jury recognition at Sundance. And she's entered the mainstream more than once with You've Got Mail, Superman Returns, and The Good Wife, plus a slew of others. In an industry that loves conformity, Parker Posey has, according to the New Yorker magazine, cemented herself as the greatest character actress of the last few decades. And at Cannes this spring, she established herself as a strong advocate for gender equality on the UN He for She panel. Now, as the supposed lazy days of summer get underway, Woody Allen premieres his newest film, Irrational Man, starring Joaquin Phoenix as a professor with a tormented past arriving at a college campus to teach a summer course. He becomes the center of wishful thinking by Parker Posey, who also plays a professor, aching to be stolen away from her humdrum campus life. Meanwhile, he is falling for a student and has other plans. Here's a clip from the trailer.
How's it coming?
Blocked. Can't write.
Why?
Right, because I can't breathe.
What would get you breathing again?
The will to breathe. Mm. Inspiration.
You need a muse.
I've never needed a muse before.
I hope you're not gonna send me back out into the rain without sleeping with me.
I'm trying to write.
You're blocked. I'm going to unblock you. Or are you becoming infatuated with that student you spend so much time with?
I met Parker Posey at her hotel in San Francisco. Parker Posey, so good to be here with you.
It's good to be here with you.
So I've just seen your latest movie, Irrational Man, directed by Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that you met Woody Allen's casting director in Krakow,
mm-hmm.
and were then cast in a little under 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what really happened?
Yeah, and I heard Owen Wilson was cast under 7 seconds for his part in Moonlight and
Midnight in Paris.
Where does the magic happen? I'm like jet lagged here. Where does the magic happen? Dude. He is so instinctual, and he knows the temperature of the actor, and he trusts Juliet Taylor to bring him the quality, the essence that he's looking for. There's so many factors that come into place. I've been thinking a lot about how it is like gambling, the career of an actor, actress. So I felt very lucky in that, and it was truly serendipitous that I happened to be in Krakow, Poland, suffering in my career and thinking about giving it up and not feeling like I really fit in and dealing with all those things that actresses deal with in the culture now. So I burst into tears when I heard the news that there were going to be 20 pages dropped off in my apartment. I had errands to run, so I said, I'm going to Trader Joe's, and I should be back around 2, and I just kind of walked around in a daze, and I didn't quite settle into a reality. It probably hasn't even now.
Right.
to be honest
going
with
on
you.
The screens. I love that you just played it cool, though. You're like, I'm going to Trader Joe's, so I won't be back till 2.
Oh, my manager was like, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? I was like, well, I have to go to Trader Joe's. I'm also sewing these pants. And they go, well, because Woody Allen's assistant wants to drop off 20 pages for you to read to see if you wanted to do his movie. And I just started crying, and I mean, when I say kind of had a nervous breakdown, I really mean it. Like, I was like, oh my God, I can, you know, I don't have to sell the farm. I do kind of have a farm, saying that.
you're literally considering selling it.
I may have to sell it because this movie didn't pay me nothing. So, yeah, it was very, very special to be cast in a Woody Allen film to play one of his women. I've always felt like one of his women. I've always loved how they are portrayed in his movies. They're so deep and complicated. And funny and just everything. And there are so few directors who can write that subtlety and humor and intelligence, and who can even write someone who's going through something, you know, in a realistic way like he can. I think this script is so subtle, and you know, it's like a thriller in a way. It's really interesting. The scenes between Joaquin and Emma, too, I find almost like screwball comedy.
Emma Stone. Well, the way that she reflects back on what happened and her lens of it.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about your character, Rita. So in the movie, you play Professor Rita Richards, which, by the way, is totally rare. Women very rarely play professors of any kind,
and
college
science,
professors,
and a science teacher
in the sciences,
too, is very rare.
I actually looked up the statistic; it's something like 4% of roles of professors are held by women. So that in of itself was, you know, wow, that's so great. So I was completely carried along by the film, and I have to say that your character Rita made me so uncomfortable because she's clearly a smart woman, yet she's so eager for Joaquin Phoenix's character to run away with her as a way out of her unsatisfying life. And I was wondering, how did you connect to this character?
I didn't find her eager at all. I think she's in a fantasy right now in her life, of feeling trapped by what she does. I don't think she's particularly eager for him as much as she is for her fantasy to escape. I know lots of women my age who are questioning their lives and feeling like they're not really living and that they're in a marriage that doesn't have potency. And she's waking up to this. There was something in the movie when I saw it that I thought was interesting where, you know, Emma Stone's character and another character are talking about Rita, and they're like, oh yeah, but she's kind of crazy. And Joaquin's character here is the man on campus who is viewed as, like, you know, compelling and sexy and troubled but interesting. I was like, oh yeah, that's so true in our culture, isn't it? That an irrational man is like, or someone who's suffering and going through something, which both of our characters are, he's seen as kind of interesting, but Rita is viewed as crazy, as someone who's going through something, who's suffering.
Well, I wonder, you know, in some ways this is about age too, right? I mean, the characters are of a similar age.
Yeah, for me, I felt like too, because I've been talking about the movie a bit, and, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, his Abe Lucas, is like the Minotaur in the maze.
Yeah.
And these women who are there with their flashlights being sucked in and curious unconsciously and consciously, and how that transforms them and what that does to get close to that.
I was wondering though about,
I think Woody Allen is a classic storyteller and is gifted in mythological ways that are just so natural.
Yeah, and
so natural.
Great nuance. And
contemporary. This movie's very modern, and it was surprising to me when I saw it how modern it was.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, you mentioned that you were at this career crisis when the film came up, and one of the things that you hear about all the time is, you know, the older you get in Hollywood, the older you get in the film industry, the harder it is to find good roles, particularly for women. Have you seen this changing? I mean, what have you observed about that, or what have you experienced for yourself, and does it matter less in the indie market?
I just think the culture is changing so much now. Movies aren't as popular as they used to be. Storytelling has changed so much. There's lots of procedural stuff. I think we're in such an interesting time in, you know, we have a new screen. We have the iPhone and the iPad, and now we have Netflix and Amazon, and I'm with the grown-up movies to be popular again. There seems to be a huge gap in this kind of interest in the realness and the humanity and the humor and the intelligence, you know, all the stuff that Woody Allen has done and represents. It is so rare to have those stories financed by producers. I don't know why. I remember being 12, 13, 14 and looking at these movies and wanting to be an adult in a particular way. And I wonder about, you know, the examples and what we're showing in our stories to kids and what they think and how they're going to progress.
Do you think movies have a responsibility to represent good role models and get away from the stereotypes? I mean, what do you think the role of a movie
really
is?
I don't really think like that. That's a little... I'm sorry.
Philosophical? I don't know.
No,
I
mean, it's a little kind of... It's kind of black and white, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I'm like, they should do this, you know? I'm like, if the story is true to the artist is telling it, that is what we're missing, and that is what's not really supported in this country, you know? So you get we have a lot of violence now because it seems to sell, because we're at war, and our movies want to beef up the masculine side, so... I think it's bigger than responsibility.
Right.
I think it's culture. I think it's art.
Apparently female comedies have taken over this summer, though.
Yeah.
And everyone's very excited about that.
Well, I think that contributed to Bridesmaids, you know.
Right, the Bridesmaids effect, so I've heard, right? Well, you alluded to this earlier as well. It seems to me that as an actor, you're constantly in this position of being judged by audiences, by the press, by directors, by studios. And so in a sense, you're constantly interviewing to get the next job. And how have you taken control, or how can you take control of a career where you really aren't in
where you're not
control?
The subject?
Yeah.
You're not like a vessel of projections that people are throwing at you all the time. That's the sacrifice of the actor, I think. Yeah.
But how do you navigate that?
You just play with it. You play with it. It can be alienating, but whatever, it's all right. It's not I've gone through periods of having it upset me. I think after, you know, in your 30s, your 20s and 30s are a lot more ambitious, so I felt a lot more jealousy being in competition being directed towards me than I do in my 40s. They go like, oh yeah, she's still here, you know, or I can communicate more easily now without wanting to like hide and I just have a great group of friends. That's important. But I only do this kind of thing every now and then, you know. I don't have a publicist. I don't do social media yet. It was a New Year's resolution that I had to join, but I haven't joined yet.
Why do you want to join?
Well, I think it's part of the new screen.
Right.
I don't want to be behind the times. But I also think saying that, I think radio and storytelling may be in a way that we listen now and that we can be quiet at home and really listen and hear stories. You know, have you heard of The Blacklist? It's called The Hollywood Blacklist. And there are these amazing scripts that agents all read, and they're like, I can't believe this is not getting made. This script was amazing. So there's a list of them. And this producer, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he started this kind of a podcast, and he gets actors together to read these scripts that the movies may never get made, but you can listen to them like radio plays. So that's great, because I do think stories are important, and stories that show people feeling and really, you know, all that juicy stuff. I hope the epic story, the landscape miniseries, comes back in style, and I think it could be.
I mean, you're known for your work in indie films, and you've done quite a bit of mainstream work. But what do you prefer? Like, is there one over the other that where you feel like you're most at home, or is, do you wish you had done more of something else in your career so far, or what are you aiming toward?
Right.
17 questions.
You kind of have to just take what comes at you, or I have in my career, my path. So it becomes like, I don't know, it's like a, I was going to get all like poetic.
Go ahead.
And say it's like kind of like an echo, you know, like the story comes and I respond to it and I have a conversation with my life and with the people around me. And I bring, you know, all that to it. And then you hope that it's a good director and it's handled in a good way. But I think this movie's going to help me a lot because I'm already reading better scripts. And I wasn't for a while. I know there's this image of me having, that I'm working all the time and stuff, but I haven't been creatively satisfied in the way that I was in the 90s. And, you know, you suffer all sorts of insecurities when you love your work, but you're unable to do it. So I feel really blessed. It's a good period right now.
Well, let's talk about,
because the careers are like, it's not something you control, you know? It's,
well, back like, to that question of control. I know that you were in Cannes this spring and you were on a panel there that was sponsored by the UN He for She campaign,
right,
about gender inequality. Is that something that has affected you personally? I mean, speaking of, you know, being in or out of control of your own career, have you run into that?
You know, I think so, but also in the way that you'll never really see, like, I'm like, oh yeah, feminism, it's not something I think about a lot, but in that way that you'll never see your own face. Like, I think I really am, like, I'm like a strong woman, but I don't really see myself that way. But I love this conversation right now in the culture with gender and with the masculine on a larger level, the dialogue between the masculine and the feminine, which I think we're here to evolve those aspects of ourselves with each other. And I've met, you know, I was working in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I spent some time with some Mormons out there. And I loved the dialogue that was going on there. I met, with just people, just we're having this conversation about the feminine coming into, you know, the culture. And I thought that was great. Even, you know, in men, we're saying things like, I'm embracing my feminine side, and like, oh wow, that's so new age 70s sounding, and,
right.
And to hear, because I don't really hear that in conversation, like I heard it in Utah, so I thought that was really cool.
Well, what, this is an advice question. What is the best advice about acting that you've ever received?
Well, I think if you love what you do, then you'll always be able to entertain yourself and to find people interesting and their feelings and the way they express themselves. So then you'll never be bored, and to keep yourself entertained and looking out and looking in. And that's one of the reasons why I live in New York. I can open the door and just start walking and see this, you know, all the different people around and encounter situations that are random and fantastic.
What about advice about managing a career as an actor? What's the best advice you've received
on
that?
That is not a good question to ask me.
You had an amazing career.
I have, yeah.
But
it's not about, wasn't about managing a career. So I've been very lucky to talk about how I got cast and met, you know, Chris Guest, and how that came about is so random. I've never gotten anything I auditioned for, maybe just Party Girl and something else that I remembered. Now I think you can manage your career, and I think we're in the times of self-management and branding and representing yourself and, you know, YouTube. So there is this, you know, this new screen and this new way to present yourself and to make a living through that. So we're going to see all these changes and what, you know, what links with what, and we have no idea what that's going to look like. So, yeah, in a strange way, it's like the amateur auteur times. The 15-year-old can write and direct and star and be adept at the computer and how to edit. I mean, it's pretty wild.
Well, Parker Posey, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. That was fun.
That was actress Parker Posey. Her most recent role is as Professor Rita Richards in Woody Allen's new film, Irrational Man.